The Celtics are heading back to the NBA Finals, and another crushing finish for these Indiana Pacers.
And that is, of course, what it sounded like last night in Indiana as the Boston Celtics on the road finish off the sweep of the Indiana Pacers. They will advance to the NBA Finals. Last time they were there, 2022. They're going to be looking to have a different result this time around, as they lost, I believe, to Golden State back then in 2022. So they'll look to either claim that an NBA championship trophy against Dallas or Minnesota, which we'll talk about that series with Game 4 of that series coming up tonight. Dallas in a position to possibly sweep that side of the NBA semifinals as well. So we'll keep an eye on that, and we'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. But before we get more into this game between Boston and Indiana, I feel like if you're going to talk about basketball today on any sports talk show, you've got to make mention of Bill Walton. We lost a legend yesterday, and it's you want to sit here and say great this, great that, great this, great that, but really, honestly, and truthful, all just lost a very great and unique human being. Right, he was really one of the best. Never met a stranger. Automatically became friends with just about everybody, whether it was a fan or a colleague, anybody that he was associated with. Bill Walton, definitely a big loss for the sports world. And a little bit shocking news yesterday when it came out that he had passed away. So definitely want to send our condolences and our thoughts and prayers here from the Glass Half Full out to his family. And man, sports, just basketball, is just not going to be the same without Bill Walton just randomly in the middle of a game going off on a tangent about the Grateful Dead or something like that. So definitely will be missed there. But getting back to the Eastern Conference Finals last night between Boston and Indiana, Jaylen Brown, big for Boston in this entire, really, playoffs, right? Porzingis goes down, and we're like, well, what's going to happen with the Celtics now? They lost Porzingis. Is that going to be something that affects them? And no, it has not, because Jaylen Brown has made sure that he steps up and plays big time for them. So no surprise there that he is named Eastern Conference Final MVP. They go on and win the NBA championship. I wouldn't doubt it if he's not the NBA Finals MVP, right? I think he's just having that type of postseason right now because he knows this team needs him to. And I think that's what makes Jaylen Brown so special. But it's not just Jaylen Brown, really. It's Jason Tatum. It's all the other guys. It's Derek White, who came up big last night, 43 seconds left in the game, hits that three-point shot to give them the 105-102 win. Boston, every time, and we've talked about it, so many different teams in the postseason, whether it was New York with all the injuries, whether it was the Pacers with the injury to Haliburton, whether it's been the Timberwolves with people needing to step up and help out Anthony Edwards, we've talked about all these teams needing to have these issues remedied and have them fixed. They need to have guys step up. Boston has been the epitome of that. Porzingis goes down. Jaylen Brown steps up in a big, major way for the Celtics. And because he steps up, that then pulls up Jason Tatum, that then pulls up Derek White, and it pulls up the entire team. And they start playing better, and they rally around each other. This is a team that has not let the issues that they've faced in the postseason, which they have definitely faced quite a few, they've not let it define them, they've not let it affect them, they put their head down, they keep playing, they keep grinding, and that's why they've got a spot in the NBA Finals, and they're waiting the winner of Minnesota and Dallas, which they could find out who they're going to play later on tonight. But again, we'll get to the Western Conference Finals coming up in just a second. I think Boston has done a great job of just, you know, plugging and playing. But that's the style team they are, right? They're a nitty-gritty team that, you know what, if one player goes down, then you're going to have one player that steps up. And we've seen teams so far in the postseason that have struggled, have failed to do that. And I think that's one of the reasons why you've got to think, even without knowing who's going to represent the West in the NBA Finals, Boston's got to be an odds-on favorite to win the NBA championship because they step up. They've got each other's back. They play as a full, complete team. And I'm secretly, I will say this, I'm secretly hoping that Dallas does get the sweep tonight and they advance on, because how great would a Luka Kyrie versus Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum NBA Finals be? Woo, that would be a lot of fun to watch. I would hope that series goes seven. But, yeah, tonight, speaking of Dallas with the Western Conference Finals, they'll have an opportunity for that sweep. as they are looking to punch their ticket into the NBA Finals. That game will get tipped off at 7:30. For Dallas, again, we talked about going into Game 3 over the weekend. Just play your game. That's all you got to do. Play your game. Don't get cute with defensive alignments or anything like that. Don't say, hey, you know what? Let's start full court pressing them. Don't do anything like that. Keep doing what you've been doing because it's not broke, so don't try to fix it, right? Keep playing the way you've been playing throughout this entire, really, the postseason, and you should be just fine tonight. For Minnesota, again, it sounds like a broken record because it's their biggest issue in the postseason. Somebody has to help not Karl-Anthony Towns. Somebody's got to help Anthony Edwards. It's got to be Karl-Anthony Towns. It's got to be Rudy Gobert. It's got to be a guy of that caliber that steps up and says, you know what? If you shut down our big guy, if you shut down our main number one guy, I'm going to take that spot and I'm going to make you drop back into what you were playing to where now you've got to spread everybody out. And you've got to worry about multiple people. And that's going to open up more options and more windows for us. They've at times had that. They were able to get that in the Western Conference semifinals against the Denver Nuggets. That's why they won that series. They have not been able to have that. Nobody has stepped up in the Western Conference finals yet for Minnesota to help Anthony Edwards. You got to have it. You got to have it. I know I keep saying that, and I sound like a broken record, but that's because that is the truth. If Minnesota wants to win tonight, if they want to force a game five, they have to have somebody step up and pick up the slack if Anthony Edwards is not playing to the caliber that we know Anthony Edwards can play. Whether that be him just having a bad game, or Dallas actually doing something defensively to shut him down. Because let's not forget Denver. When Denver put pretty much every type of pressure they could come up with on Anthony Edwards, that limited that Timberwolves team greatly. So, if Dallas does that tonight and they shut down Anthony Edwards, can Karl-Anthony Towns, can Rudy Gobert, can any of these other players for the Pacers, who are good quality players, by the way. I'm not saying that they're stiffs or they're bad players. They're good players. Can they step up and provide that help that Anthony Edwards is going to need? If they can't do that, then we're going to be talking about an NBA Finals between Dallas and Boston tomorrow. I have a feeling that we will be doing that because I believe I said it on Friday's show. I've lost all faith. I lost all faith in the Pacers that they could win a game against Boston, and look what happened. I've lost all faith in Minnesota that they can win a game against Dallas. I just see Dallas, they're at home. The Mavericks are at home. They've got a great opportunity to close it out ahead of them tonight. The Rangers in the NHL, they're going to look to tie their series up against the Florida Panthers. They find themselves down 2-1 in that one. Was able to get a big crucial win in Game 3. 5-4, the final score in that overtime game. What was it, the second game already of this series that's gone to overtime? This has really turned out to be a great series, despite the fact that Florida jumped out to that early 2-0 lead in the series. Rangers have been battling back. You know, like I said, they seem to maybe have found that rhythm, found that mojo, and are moving forward and kind of getting back to that team that started the postseason off 7-0. So we'll see what happens tonight in Game 4 of that series. It's new territory for the Rangers. It's the first time that they're trying to battle back in a series in the postseason. You know, came out with a sweep, jumped out to a quick 3-0 lead against Carolina with the Hurricanes. They were able to get a couple. The Hurricanes were able to get a couple of games in there. But ultimately, the Rangers ended up closing out the series. So now this is a true series where the Rangers will have to play from behind in the series, catch up, and then try to come out on top in that series. So we'll see what happens there. It's going to be tough for them, though, because the game tonight is going to be in South Beach. It's in Florida. It's a home game for the Panthers. Bobrovsky's good no matter where he plays. But he's got that extra notch when that crowd's behind him and they're cheering loud for him and they're chanting his name and they're chanting Bob in that arena. Yeah, it's very, very tough to go into South Beach and come out with a win over the Panthers. So the Rangers are going to try to do that. I think if they are going to accomplish that tonight. One thing that they're going to really need to do, win the power plays. When you get opportunities on power plays, put it in the back of the net. That's going to have to be how the Rangers win this game and really how they win the series. The Rangers were one of the best teams in the NHL when it came to the power play. And they've got to continue to do that moving forward if they want a chance at coming back, tying this series up against Florida, and having an opportunity at moving on to the Stanley Cup Finals. So we'll see how it plays out tonight, and you better believe we'll talk about it tomorrow on the Glass Half Full for sure. Some good news if you're a baseball fan. Angel Hernandez announced he's retiring. He's done. Bye-bye. See you later. I think it's like maybe like 5 years too late, if you ask me. I mean, look, if you're a sports fan listening to this right now, you know that there is nothing I could say here that would be too harsh a criticism for Angel Hernandez. Because he is just the worst. Worst umpire. And I don't know him personally, but I'd go out on a limb and probably say worst human being just because he tends to back up his calls. There's been a couple of times where he's like, oh, yeah, I could have done a better job there. Or, yeah, I could have made a different call there. But for the most part, he's pretty adamant in backing up his calls that are 7 times, 8 times out of 10, the wrong call. I mean, Angel Hernandez will go down. Let's put him in Cooperstown as the worst umpire in Major League Baseball history. Right? That little cove where they talk about the Black Sox and Pete Rose and betting and baseball and all that stuff. Let's put Angel Hernandez over there in that section as the worst umpire in Major League Baseball. Let's go even a step further than that. Let's put him in Ripley's Believe It or Not museums. We can put screens up and just show all the bad calls that he's made over his career. Because honestly, it is pretty much just like any other exhibit in Ripley's Believe It or Not. You look at it and you go, there's no way that's real. There's no way that's a call that he's made. But he did. I'm glad to see him go. Bye, Angel Hernandez. You not being there makes the game better. And I don't think that's anything crazy to say. I don't think any other baseball fan is going to hear that and go, ooh, well, that's a little harsh. No, him not being a part of baseball makes it better. So the end of this season, the final out of the World Series this year cannot come quick enough, simply because once that happens, we will no longer have Angel Hernandez in Major League Baseball. To some NASCAR now. this is a funny story. You know, remember a couple of weeks ago, Ricky Stenhouse, Kyle Busch, they got in a little skerfuffle, if you will, in the pit. Ricky's dad, I think, got into more of a fight with Kyle Busch than Ricky did. I love it. I love it. But NASCAR announced that they're actually going to fine Ricky Stenhouse $75,000 in the fight with Kyle Busch, if you want to call that a fight. That was like a one punch, and then Kyle, I don't know what Kyle was trying to do, but it didn't look like fighting. But it's just funny hearing the reaction of other drivers to this news. Like Chase Elliott coming out going, yeah, that's a lot of money. It's kind of wild to me that they fined him like that. And he's not the only driver that's come out and has made public statements of, yeah, that's a bit ridiculous. And I don't know if this speaks more towards them kind of just going, yeah, that's actually a ridiculous amount to fine somebody for fighting in the pit. Or if this is just a sign that they really don't like Kyle Busch. And maybe they're just like, you know what? Ricky was doing the Lord's work. He was doing what everybody else in this track wants to do. Whether that's in the stands or on pit row. So I just think it's funny that, you know, a lot of the drivers are coming out going, oh, well, you know, I don't necessarily agree with NASCAR fining Ricky $75,000 for punching Kyle Busch. But, hey, I'm just going to leave it there. You can defer to that what you will. Whether that's something against NASCAR or something against Kyle Busch or both, you can defer that to your own accord. The Chiefs, they are looking to do something that no other team in the NFL has been able to do this year, and that is three-peat. Can they three-peat? It's extremely – look, winning the Super Bowl is hard. Winning back-to-back Super Bowls is extremely hard. And there's a reason why nobody has ever done a three-peat in the NFL. Because it's impossible to do. because there's injuries. There's things that can happen over the course of a season that can affect how your year goes, right? Tom Brady was on the Herd yesterday, was talking about this exact thing. And he was like, look, if there's a team that's set up to do it, it would be the Chiefs. And I got to agree with him. I'm just kind of running down some things here. Steve Spagnuolo back as the they've got Spags back as their defensive coordinator. So they're going to have a tough defense to play against. That offense that was already good is only going to get even better with the likes of Xavier Worthy being added in the draft. Then the question mark of Rashee Rice, you know, a lot of people were like, well, is he going to be able to play this year? He's been going through OTAs. Andy Reid doesn't expect him to miss anything team-related because of this situation that he's going through. Obviously, the alleged assault at the Dallas nightclub, those charges have been dropped, so nothing really going to be coming of that. But still, with the car accident that he was a part of, facing multiple charges with that. So kind of have to see if that may be something that, you know, pulls him away from the team for a little while during the regular season. But if he's able to play, you've got Rashee Rice, you've got Travis Kelce, you've got Xavier Worthy, you've got all the other great talented athletes that are on that offensive side of the ball for the Chiefs. And then, oh, by the way, you got a guy named Patrick Mahomes as your starting quarterback. I would say that the possibility of the Chiefs three-peating is very strong. I'm not going to sit here and say that it's a guarantee. I'm not going to sit here and say I think, you know, it's kind of a little easier to look at the landscape of college football and be like, yeah, I think this team's got a really great opportunity of winning the college football playoff and winning the national championship. It's a little easier to do with college football. The NFL, man, so many crazy things happen over the course of a season. Teams that you think are going to be great turn out to be mediocre. Teams that you think are going to be mediocre turn out to be great. I mean, who saw the Detroit Lions come in last year? Right? Because I think I had them going into the season, I had them about a 500 football team, and hell, they almost made it to the Super Bowl. So, I think moving forward, you can't really look at a team and go, yep, they're going to have an opportunity. They're going to have an opportunity, yes, but yep, they're going to do it. You can't really do that. So to sit here and say, yes, the Kansas City Chiefs can three-peat, it's a little premature. But I will say in their favor, you've got a very young Buffalo Bills team, right? So we don't know what we're going to get from the Bills. You've got a lot of new pieces in Miami that can make them better, yes, but is Miami going to be able to take that next step and truly be that team that we think they can be under Mike McDaniel as head coach? Really, when you look at the landscape of the AFC, a surprise team that might give them some issues, the Houston Texans. You got C.J. Stroud as the quarterback. You've added, you know, a couple of key pieces, including Stephon Diggs in the offseason. You've gotten a little bit better defensively as well. So that could be a surprise team that could throw a wrench in the Chiefs three-peating. But I think right now, you look at the landscape of the AFC, it's got to be the Baltimore Ravens. That's really the only team out of the AFC that could keep them from getting back to the Super Bowl. I'm not saying the Bills are a bad team. I'm not saying the Dolphins are a bad team. I'm not saying, you know, that any of these other teams that are expected to kind of be a higher caliber team in the AFC is a fraud or anything like that. I just think that they have their own little things that are going to prevent them from being able to match up with a team like the Kansas City Chiefs, if the Kansas City Chiefs are healthy. Obviously, if Rashee Rice can't go in the regular season because of his legal issues, and Xavier Worthy has an injury, or Travis Kelce has an injury that knocks them out for the season, then yeah, it's going to be a little bit easier to knock the Chiefs off. But if they are healthy rolling into the playoffs and they are clicking and playing ball the right way heading into the playoffs, like we've seen them do the last two seasons, it would be very possible, and it would not surprise me to see the Kansas City Chiefs be the first team to three-peat for the Super Bowl. So we'll see what plays out. Obviously, there's still a lot of time before we even kick the season off in the fall. So we will see how just we go through summer workouts, summer camps, and all of that fun stuff, and we'll see what happens. To the NBA, or I should say back to the NBA now, LeBron James. He's all eyes are on LeBron right now because we don't know what's going to happen with him. Is he going to be in a Lakers uniform next year? Or is he going to be somewhere else? How many times in his career have we seen him opt out of that final year of his contract or play through his contract and leave and go to a different team? Started his career off with Cleveland, contract is up, goes to Miami. Same thing with Miami. Opts out, contract's up, goes back to Cleveland. Contract's up with Cleveland, goes to play for the Lakers. So I think, you know, there's a lot of people that are automatically going, well, he's probably going to opt out and go somewhere else. Whether that's with the Knicks or San Antonio or maybe go back to Miami, team up with Jimmy Butler down there in South Beach. Maybe he goes to Golden State, teams up with Steph. Who knows? I think somebody knows. Rich Paul, who is, if you don't know who Rich Paul is, he's a sports agent, and he does happen to represent one LeBron James. He was on a show yesterday talking about LeBron, and he let it slip. He said LeBron's going to be a free agent. And when they were like, whoa, did you just say he's a free agent? He's going to be a free agent, that he's opting out? And he's like, oh, no, you know I don't say the stuff on air. You know I don't say the stuff on air. And they're like, well, you just did. He's like, well, I'm not going to, I don't speak to that on air when I'm doing interviews. You just let it slip, Rich. I mean, come on, man. You just told the world, in an age of recordings for podcasts and YouTube channels and all of that stuff, you just told the world that LeBron is going to be a free agent. Obviously, LeBron still has until June 29th, so he's got a full month and a day to make that decision and to sit here and think about what he wants to do with the Lakers. And look, if you're a Lakers fan and you're hearing this conversation around the sports world right now, and you're either doing one of two things. You're panicking because you don't want to lose LeBron James. I understand that. I understand. Or you are in denial and you don't want to admit and you don't want to accept the fact that there is a real possibility for LeBron James to leave. However, whichever camp you fall under as a Lakers fan, I will say, just because he opts out of that final year, if he does not mean he's going somewhere other than LA, right? He can opt out, restructure his deal as a free agent for max time on a contract, max money. He could restructure a deal and still play for the Lakers, even after opting out and entering free agency. Doesn't mean he's automatically officially done with the Lakers. I think if he opts out and he opens up free agency, I think what he does is he is opening up the book to do exactly what he said he wants to do all season long. Whenever this conversation has been brought up and mentioned to him, this is exactly what he said he wants to do. Play with his son, Bronny, who is expected in the latest mock draft I saw to be like mid-50s as far as a pick in the NBA draft coming up. He wants to play with Bronny on a team. He wants to spend his last couple of seasons in the league playing with his son and helping his son kind of learn how to play in the league and help him kind of understand and get ready for what's going to be coming his way the next few years as an NBA professional basketball player. And I think that's great. And so I think that's what really LeBron is looking at here. It's not about something about getting out of the contract or getting out of L.A., because I do think LeBron has aspirations. I mean, one of the first things he did when he got to L.A. and joined the Lakers was pin the deal to do Space Jam 2. We're not going to talk about that movie anymore other than that, because it was a god-awful piece of garbage. But I do think that he does have the aspirations to be an actor, to get involved with Hollywood. So I think the lure of L.A. is still very strong for LeBron. But I think also the lure of playing with his son Bronny is even stronger. Say what you will about LeBron, whether you agree with his politics or not, whether you agree with how he plays or not, whether you are a fan of him or not. Say what you will about him. The guy is a fantastic father. And I think the minute that Bronny kind of showed promise and showed that he had the talent to play in the league and could have a career playing basketball, I think it went into LeBron's head that he would love to play on the same team as his son one day in the NBA. Because I guarantee you that if you told Doc Rivers, hey, what if your son and you could play on the same team? Not you coach your son, they've done that. But you guys both could be teammates on the same team, part of the same starting five. Oh, I guarantee you Doc Rivers would say yes in a heartbeat, right? So LeBron just wants to play on the same team as his son. So I think by entering the free agency market, if he does opt out of his final year with the Lakers, it's more so to see what happens with Bronny. I don't think it's necessarily trying to go with a better competing team for an NBA title. You know, so I, you know, all the conversation of, oh, him going to the Celtics or him going to the Knicks or him going to Golden State, that could possibly happen, yes. But I really do think that if he opts out of this contract, it's more so to see what happens with Bronny, see where Bronny goes. Because honestly and truthfully, let's say this. Let's say the New Orleans Pelicans trade up somehow, work out a deal to where they go and they draft Bronny James. Could LeBron James follow him to New Orleans? I'm just saying, he wants to play with his son. He has said this multiple times. So don't be surprised if LeBron's free agency decision, if he does, in fact, enter free agency, is not kind of influenced by where his son goes in the NBA draft. So this whole idea of him going and playing with Wimby in San Antonio or him going and playing with Jimmy Butler in Miami or going with Steph in Golden State would be fun to watch for sure as a sports fan. But don't be surprised if where Bronny goes in the draft doesn't play a little bit more into why he is A, opting out of this contract and B, leaving, going to another team. But like I said, if the Lakers can find a way to work out a deal to get Bronny James, they get a good quality head coach in there, I don't see him leaving the Lakers. It all depends on so many different factors right now. But I do think it's interesting. Rich Paul coming out pretty much alluding to and flat out saying that it looks like LeBron James will opt out of his contract on June 29th when it's time for him to do so. So the sweepstakes for LeBron James will begin soon. And you better believe it is going to be incredibly entertaining to watch and to keep up with. And that is something we will do for sure here on this show. Closing out today's show, want to take a look at some potential college football matchups that we have coming up this year or just over the next couple of seasons, really, because I was thinking about these new conference alignments, these new teams that are joining the conferences. You know, I think in this area, because we live in SEC country, right? So everything's been about, you know, we've heard a lot about Texas and Oklahoma, but, you know, what about the teams like UCLA and USC and Oregon going into the Big Ten? What about Stanford and SMU going into the ACC? What about all the teams from, you know, the former Pac-12 going into the Big 12, you know, like Colorado? There's lots of other teams out there that are going to be playing in new conferences that are going to create new conference matchups and even potential rivalries that I'm definitely excited to look at and to potentially see on the field. I mean, some of these, I think Stanford and Clemson in the ACC, I think that's going to be a fun game right there. You know, you talk about two programs that have, you know, Clemson with a little history the last few years. Not sure what's really going to happen there with Dabo moving forward in the future of that program because he refuses to play ball the way you need to in the new landscape of college football that we live in. But I think Stanford-Clemson's got a great opportunity of being an interesting matchup. We've got some other ones. Colorado versus really anybody in the Big 12, right? I mean, because Colorado, I think out of all the teams that are leaving the Pac-12 heading into the Big 12, I think Colorado is one of those teams that fits perfectly in the Big 12. Why? Lots of offense, not a lot of defense. Right, they fit perfectly in the Big 12, so I'm looking forward to just seeing how Colorado just fits into that conference in general and playing literally anybody that's still in the Big 12. Florida State and Stanford. We talked about Clemson and Stanford. Florida State and Stanford, that's two marquee programs that don't really have ever played each other a lot, if they've even played each other at all. Definitely is going to be lots of fun to see that matchup. Of course, you'll get games like Penn State, Oregon, UCLA, Michigan State, UCLA, Northwestern. One game I am definitely excited for. How about USC and Ohio State, right? And I'm excited for that game because with that game, that is two titans of the college football world going head-to-head, right? USC and Ohio State. That's just two universally known logos. You know who the Ohio State University is. You know who USC is. South Carolina may try to claim to be USC, but they are not USC. Southern Cal is, in fact, USC. Sorry, Gamecock fans. That's just how it is. It's how it is. Great programs with a lot of history, with a lot of championships, with a lot of great athletic pedigree coming out of both schools. I mean, I'm definitely excited for the first time that we see that game between USC and Ohio State. How about Florida, Texas? I think this is going to be an interesting game. I think Florida, Texas could really become a budding rivalry, right? Because you've got the marquee universities for each state, right? And what I mean by that, before Florida State fans and Miami fans start jumping into the comment section on this podcast and saying, oh, well, you know, we're better than Florida. We're better than Florida. Right. But Florida is still the state university, right? Like that is the university for the state. University of Florida. University of Texas. These are two of the most fertile recruiting grounds in the country. These are two of the most prideful fan bases and programs in the country. This is going to be a fun rivalry to see develop in the SEC between Florida and Texas. I think it's going to be fun. Obviously, Florida's not necessarily at the level that Texas is right now, so it may be a little lopsided early. But I think once Florida gets going, whether that's with Billy Napier or somebody else, once Florida gets back going, Florida-Texas definitely going to be a fun game to watch. Georgia-Oklahoma, kind of the same thing, right? Two teams that really don't play each other a lot. But I think we're set up to have some classics between those two, and you could even have Georgia-Oklahoma as a potential SEC championship game this upcoming season. So we'll just have to see. I think Oklahoma playing, there's a couple of other teams, Oklahoma and Kentucky. I think that's got an opportunity to be, you know, one of those games that it's worth keeping an eye on, because Kentucky's not an SEC contender this year. They're not a national title contender this year, but they are an upset contender, meaning they are going to put themselves in position to knock off a couple of teams that are in position to win a title and upset that opportunity for them, right? So I keep an eye on Kentucky against a team like Oklahoma. That could be a fun game to watch there. And then, of course, Bama and Texas. We've had such classics between those two programs over the last few seasons, whether it's going back to when they played in the Rose Bowl for the BCS National Championship, when Colt McCoy went down with the injury in that game, or maybe it was the classic we had in Austin a couple of seasons ago, or the absolute incredible game we had last year in Tuscaloosa, that Texas was finally able to get that you know, chip off their back and beat Alabama. Moving forward, that's definitely going to be a fun rivalry to keep an eye on as well. And then there's lots of others that we didn't talk about that we could have, and we may talk about them more coming up. Actually, we will, because we'll have those matchups actually happening on the field once we kick things off coming up in late August. So definitely looking forward to that. Man, I know we're less than 100 days away, but college football, it can't get here quick enough. College football and NFL football in general, cannot get here quick enough. Because I know it's going to be a great year for college. It's going to be a great year in the NFL. And even here locally with high school, some of the new coaches, some of the new names, some of the new players that we have on these teams. Man, is it football season yet or not? No, it's not. We're still a little bit of ways. But we'll have some fun throughout the rest of the summer until we get to football season. But that is going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. This has been the Glass Half Full with me, Jordan Glass, and ESPN Pensacola Podcast. Have a great Tuesday. I'll talk to you tomorrow.